And so, Lord, this morning we bless your name. This morning we lift you high above all of our circumstances, above every name that can be named, both here and in the heavens. We declare that you are God and God alone. And Lord, we see Christ seated in heavenly places. And Lord, we declare, based upon your word, that we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers, far above every name that can be named. And Lord, this morning we pray as we hear your word, that faith will receive your word, and our hearts, oh God, will be with good soil, and that we, oh God, will be changed because of your word this morning. Lord, we need your spirit to give us revelation. And so Lord, we ask you for that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ to be in operation here this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said. So we're continuing the series, which I've called Embracing God-Given Identity. That as children of God, as people of God, God has called us different things, and we need to listen to what God says and to embrace that, because our identity will lead us towards our destiny. And that there are many voices out there trying to tell us who we are and how we should be. And if you listen to those voices, then you're going to be what they want you to be. If you listen to the negative voices of people around you, then you're going to end up not fulfilling your destiny. You're going to end up miserable and etc. But if you listen to the voice of God and the word of God and embrace what God says, you'll experience the freedom of God and the victory of God. Today we want to talk about us being ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors of Christ. I'm going to read a scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 14. Paul says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he who died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were appealing, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. So in that scripture there, in verse 20, it talks about the fact that God has called us to be ambassadors of Christ. And as I was reflecting on this, trying to figure out, well, who's an ambassador? You know, the word is used in a very loose sense nowadays. You know, people go to college, they have second-year students or third-year students who will help out the first-year students or help parents around, and they call them ambassadors of the college. Really, all they're doing is just sticking around it. They really have not much authority, but they give them a nice sounding title. But that's not what Paul is talking about. He's talking about something far more important than that. They use it sometimes in other ways to say you're representing an organization. But the real technical term is more to be a representative of a government, of a nation, of leaders. It says here, I downloaded this from online, from work.cron.com. Ambassadors are the personal representatives of the President of the United States abroad. They are chosen by the President with support and guidance of the State Department. So ambassadors, in the real technical sense of the word, are people who have been selected, chosen to go and represent this nation, usually in other nations or sometimes the United Nations. But they are given authority. They're called the diplomatic envoys. They're given authority to act on behalf of the United States to represent, if you're talking about the ambassador of the United States, to represent the United States government in another nation. They present to that nation the values of this country, the plans that we have here to, in terms of whatever nation they've gone to share those plans. They go there with authority to act. They usually have to be a citizen of the country from which you come from. You can't be an ambassador of the United States and you're not a citizen of the country. You have to be a citizen from that country. And so when Paul says that we are ambassadors of Christ, we are representing the King of Kings, in Philippians he says that our citizenship is in heaven. And so we as ambassadors are representative of heaven here on earth, representing Christ here on earth, and that's our primary responsibility. We are citizens of heaven. How many understand that we're just passing through earth? How many understand that we're only here for a short time? And that really and truly, we should feel strange because this is not our home. Peter talks about us being aliens and strangers. This is not our home. So don't be surprised that things just don't fit around you because you're not from here. You've been born again, Paul says here in Corinthians. You've been born again. We have been born from above. The Spirit of God dwells in us, and our values and our culture are different from the values and culture of the world. And we come representing Christ and to share with the world the values of our home country. We come to represent and to share with them the values of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are ambassadors of Christ. We are not just some nobodies. We are important people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are important. Oftentimes, ambassadors reside in the foreign country. And the foreign country has different values. Our ambassador to the Middle East, to Iraq and Syria, the Syrians have different values from us in America. So don't be surprised, as I said, the world has different values. The world, for example, will say if somebody's the enemy, then you have a good reason to hate them. Christ says, no. Love your enemies. Different values completely. Christ says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. The world says, if your enemy is hungry, make sure he doesn't know that there's food around. Hide everything from him. Wish him the worst. Christ says, if they persecute you, bless them. The world says, if they persecute you, curse them. So our values, the values of heaven, is different from the values of the world. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should recognize that we are a different type of person. We have been born again. Now, as I was doing my little research, I came across some very, very important things, talking about how we treat, how America treats their ambassadors. They have an appraisal system, and through that appraisal system, they can get salary increases. But it says here that the base salary of an ambassador cannot exceed the salary of the Vice President of the United States. That's the base salary. It can go right up to the same level as the Vice President, but it can't exceed it. And I thought, man, that sounds like a good salary. But that's just the base. Let me share some more. Some allowances. In addition to base pay, an ambassador can receive various allowances based on different factors in the country where she's stationed. A cost of living allowance is based on how expensive the country is to live in compared to the United States. So you have a cost of living allowance. You have a hardship allowance is based on the rating of the standard of amenities available compared to that of the United States. And then you have a danger pay. Danger pay is based on how dangerous the country is to live in. For example, the ambassador to Afghanistan doesn't get a cost of living allowance because the cost of living in Afghanistan is less than the United States. But he gets a hardship allowance of 35% of his base salary and another 35% for danger pay. In contrast, the ambassador to France, living in Paris, gets a cost of living allowance of 60% of his base salary, but doesn't get a hardship or danger pay allowance. So they get additional allowances. If the place where you're living in is dangerous, give it 35% more. If things are difficult there, another 35%. But that's not all. They have some other compensations. If they have children, for example, well, let me read some of these things. It says, ambassadors are given special residences that they may live in free of charge. So the United States have a responsibility to provide them with a place to live, free of cost. You don't need to worry about where you're going to live. You don't need to worry about food or clothes. It sounds like a scripture. Doesn't it? Where Jesus says that the Gentiles, they worry about the food and clothes and what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear. But you don't worry about that. What you need to do is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of the rest. Be about kingdom business, be about ambassador business, and your home country will take care of the rest. Man, that's an excellent package. Let's read on. It says, they also got a range of other benefits, including government-subsidized health care insurance, life insurance, and 5 weeks of vacation time per year, which includes paid airfare to and from their vacation destination. Ambassadors are also compensated for educational expenses for their family. It says, for instance, ambassador to Denmark receives $24,000 a year for each child he has in kindergarten to grade 5. And it changes depending on which grade they are at. In grade 11 and 12, the allowance is 58,000. And it says in New Zealand, the annual allowance, educational allowance for each child is $58,900, and this was in 2011. So for each child, the education is taken care of. Don't worry about this. The government got it covered. And so as I was reading that, I realized that we as ambassadors of Christ don't understand when God says we're ambassadors, that he has a lot of stuff covered for us. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your children. Don't worry about this thing. Just be about kingdom business. We can't afford to have our ambassador worrying about safety. If there's an issue, you tell your home country and they should take care of your safety. They should take care of your protection. Everything you need, you refer to home country, and home country takes care of that so that you can focus upon the business of the country, of the United States. We are ambassadors of Christ. And so Jesus there in Matthew 6 was saying, don't worry, don't get anxious. Because what? The kingdom will take care of your needs. Just you seek first the kingdom of God, seek first God's business, and God will take care of your needs. Food, clothing, don't worry about those things. Those things are already covered in the package. Can you imagine an ambassador of the United States going to some foreign country to present a package, and they're coming in and their clothes are smelly and holy, and they were like, no, you can't. You cannot be a representative of the United States dressed like that. And you need to go and take a shower. You need some fresh clothes. You need to represent the country just even by the way you carry yourself. And so if we are ambassadors of Christ, we need to be walking in the provision of Christ. In the things that we're talking about, we need to be experiencing them. So Paul says, God has given to us this ministry of reconciliation. I have some other points there. And I mentioned here, one, that the embassy is under the sovereign control of home government. So when you enter an embassy overseas, it's American property. And the host country can't just enter like that. And if you understand that, then you realize that when we walk around here, we are walking as representatives of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness just can't enter our sphere just like that because we're under the protection of home country. You see? And so we walk around with protection, we walk around with authority, and we function as different people from the rest of the world. We're representatives of God. If you insult an ambassador, it's the same as insulting home country. And this idea of ambassadors, of our ambassadors function is not a new thing, it's not a modern day thing. It's all there throughout the entire Old Testament. And I have a scripture there in 2 Samuel chapter 10 where the king of the Ammonites, he had died, and that king had shown David favor when David was running from King Saul. And so now that the king had died and his son was going to take over the rulership, David sent his servants there to show support. And rather than receiving the support from David's servants, the Hanun, who was his son, and his men decided that they're going to embarrass David's servants. And they captured them, cut their beards in half, cut holes in their garments behind them to expose them, and ridiculed them and sent them back. And when David heard what happened, David stopped them and said, "Guys, you can't come home like that. Stay here, we'll take care of you." And David sent his army and fought against the Ammonites because they had insulted his attempt to show diplomatic relations. They had insulted his servants. They treated them badly. It's the same thing. We are representatives of the kingdom of heaven. And when the world of darkness comes against us, or the people of the world comes against us, they have to come against the kingdom of heaven. I'm a representative of the kingdom. I'm not standing by myself. And whatever you try to do to me, my king will defend me. My king will intervene. My king will make a difference. An ambassador has a responsibility to explain to the foreign country the values and cultures from which he comes. He has a responsibility to put the interests of home country first. He can't be there worried about what's happening locally. It's the interest of home country that comes first. He needs to encourage this foreign country to accept the package that the United States has to offer. Here is a deal. We can grant you some aid to help you educationally, etc. But you have to align yourself this way. Paul says we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. And we come to the people of the world and we say, this is what God has to offer. This is his package. But to receive this package, you have to be reconciled to God. This package, my friends, is more than just having our sins forgiven. You see, we have given them just a small piece of the package. This package includes the healing we're talking about. Right. This package includes deliverance. This package includes having our needs met. It's a complete package. Right. And so we need to say to the world, listen, you don't need to live in all of that misery. You don't need to live in all that sorrow. Here's a package from the kingdom of God to give you peace, to give you joy. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to live like that. Come up higher. But to receive it, you have to be reconciled to God. You have to make peace with God. And so God has given us this message of reconciliation. But if you and I are going to present this message properly, we have to be walking in the peace. We have to be walking in the victory. We have to be walking in the joy. Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 19, he says, in verse 18 he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, always keeping on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains." And so Paul saw himself, no matter where he was, as an ambassador. If I'm in chains, I'm still an ambassador. I'm still going to tell you about the mystery of the gospel. I'm still going to tell you what God has provided. I'm still going to tell you how you can be reconciled to the Father. And how you can walk in victory. And how you can lay hold of the provisions of heaven. And so some of the benefits of reconciliation. It's important for us to know the benefits. You can't be an ambassador and you don't know what the package contains. If you don't know what the package contains, study it. So when you talk, you're talking with sense. And you don't want to go to a country and tell them, "Well, you know, we'll have a little bit here for education," but you don't tell them about the health plan. You don't tell them about all the other stuff. We need to give them the full package. The old time people call it the full gospel. Why should I be reconciled to God? Why should I be reconciled to God? Well, let me tell you why. Your sins forgiven, but I'm going to live until I'm like 60. I can accept Christ when I'm old. That was a lie the devil told me when I was a teenager. You don't need to serve God now. Because if you serve God now, it's going to be miserable. And he might have had a point because I saw some Christians and they didn't look too happy. They didn't realize there was more to the package. And so the devil came and said, if you serve God now, you're going to miss out on life. It's a lie. Because nobody told me about all the other things in the package. And when I came to discover it, I saw it in the lives of other people. I mentioned this before. I saw it in the lives of some young men when I was at college. Young men who were zealous for God, experiencing the power of God, experiencing the joy of God, and walking in the things of God. I said, yes, that's what I want. I saw the package being lived out. And so it was no problem for me to be reconciled to God because I could see in the lives of people that they were living what they were saying. And so God has called you and me to be ambassadors of Christ, which means we need to lay hold of the things I've been talking about. Our identity in the Lord, realizing that you and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God, realizing that we are no longer, what we said earlier today, slaves to fear. How can I be telling you about peace and I'm living in fear? I need to be able to say, look at my life. Look at the benefits that you see in my life. Don't you want some of this? Amen. An ambassador of Christ. I'm an heir of God. You have access to the abundance of his love. In this kingdom, you'll experience the abundance of God's love. You'll come to understand that God is for you and he's not against you. You'll come to understand that you can't even comprehend this love. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of the Most High God. We need to be able to say to them, you don't need to live like that. There's a better way. We need to live our lives in such a way. Peter says that they should be able to come and ask us, why do you have so much hope? What's the reason for your hope? Don't you see how things are around us? We don't even know who to vote for. Why do you look so hopeful? And then we can say to them, listen, I don't just have hope in this life. If I did, I'd be very miserable. That's what Paul says in Corinthians, right? If you have hope only in this life, we have all men most miserable and to be pitied. But I have a hope that goes beyond this life. And listen, I serve a God who's full of hope, a God who intervenes in my life, my circumstances. My supply doesn't come based upon the government. My supply comes from who? The God who's up there. He shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. That's why I can be so hopeful. It doesn't matter who becomes the next president because God is still in control. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? God is still in control. God will still be healing. He'll still be supplying all of my needs no matter who is the next president. And therefore, I can be hopeful. Therefore, I can rejoice. What a God we serve. Jesus says, well, it shouldn't say Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, that in this package, all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. In other words, it's already settled. Before you ask, it's already settled. It's yes. It's amen. Go take it. It's yours. It's provided for. It's a full package. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Yes and amen. You need to see some favor? Yes and amen. You need to see some circumstances where God intervenes? Yes and amen. All the promises, not some, not 50%, not 80%, all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. And that excites me. So what I seek to do now is to understand what the promises are. Lord, help me to understand what's part of this package so I can live it and I can declare it. I don't want to get to heaven and realize, man, I want to touch 10% of what God has provided for me. I want to live all of it. I want everything that God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give me. I want every single thing. He suffered too much for me just to accept just a little bit here, just to have my little sins forgiven and that's it. There's much more for all of us. My Lord. Matthew chapter 10. This is my last scripture. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. When Jesus sent out his disciples, this is the start of their ministry as ambassadors of Christ. In Matthew 10 and verse 7, he sent them out in twos. And he sent them out with the good news. How many realize that? If you came here today to hear bad news, I'm glad to disappoint you. If you want to hear bad news, go and turn on your television. You'll hear a lot of bad news. We are all about good news. To let you know the truth of what God has provided for us. To let you know the truth of how God sees us. And so Jesus sent us disciples. And he said to them, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is here. Listen, all your needs are provided for. God is here. The kingdom is here. It's a message. What next? Heal the sick. So he says, as you go, since the kingdom is here, healing is part of the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? Healing is part of the fact that the kingdom of God is here. Share the testimonies. Share the way in which God has changed people's lives. Don't be ashamed to declare that there's a God who still does miracles. Go and declare it. Pray for the sick and see what God does. He says, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely have received, freely give. So we have received the kingdom, we have received the blessings of the kingdom, go and share it. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. What's next? Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals on your feet. All our staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest upon it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. In Luke it says, if there's somebody at peace there and they receive your peace, let it remain there. If not, your peace will come back to you. In other words, part of the kingdom of God is that you and I are walking in peace and we have something to give to people. Yeah. Right. It's not just words. Our presence makes a difference. The anointing of God in our lives makes a difference. Oh my goodness. That's why I like my wife's testimony. Peter said as he was going through the beautiful gate, silver and gold we don't have, but we have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have something to show that we are representative of the kingdom of heaven. Right. It's not some empty words. It's not some philosophical argument. It's the fact that Jesus Christ has come and the kingdom of God is right here and now. It's tangible and changes are taking place in the lives of people because of the kingdom of heaven. And so God has, as I said earlier, has called us to move from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We are called to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. We are called to let people know that God is still at work. Amen. Let us stand. So we are ambassadors of Christ. We have been given spiritual authority to act on behalf of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents, upon scorpions, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So I'm not just here acting by myself. I've been given authority to act on behalf of the kingdom of heaven. Right. And because I'm a kingdom representative, when I speak and when I act, heaven backs me up. Right. So I'm somebody important. I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what that means is that you and I have to spend time with the King of Kings. We need to understand his heart. We need to understand his mind. We need to understand what he wants to accomplish. Jesus put it this way. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what I see my Father doing. Bill Johnson puts it this way. He says, most of the church live in reaction to the devil. Most of the church live in reaction to the devil. Find out what the devil is doing and react to it. Oh, the world is getting so bad. We need to call a prayer meeting. Oh, this is happening. We need to do this over here. He says Jesus didn't live like that. Jesus lived in reaction to the Father. Lived in reaction to heaven. What does heaven want to accomplish? That's where he has called you and me to function. We don't want our ambassadors living in reaction to the country they're at. They must live in reaction to what the government of the United States is saying. We have been called to be representatives of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is God saying? What does God want to have accomplished? And we live in reaction to that. I'm a representative of the King of Kings. Let's just bow our heads this morning. And so while we are in this sacred place, maybe there's somebody in this house. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you have turned away from the Lord. Maybe you've wandered from him. Maybe you never know him in the first place. And this morning you're saying, Joe Campbell, please pray for me. I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house that needs to recommit themselves to the Lord? Well, I'm going to pray for the rest of us. Let's just put our hand across our heart this morning. We're the ones who really need prayer. Father God, we stand in your presence as your representatives, as your ambassadors, Lord, declaring a message of reconciliation. And so, Lord, I pray for each one of us that we might come to appreciate that you have appointed us, that you have sent us forth to represent you, that, Lord, this is your idea. Lord, you didn't send angels with this message. Lord, you have sent us, we who have experienced your reconciliation. We who have already been reconciled to the Father. You have now sent us to go and explain to people what we have experienced. And so, Father, I pray for each and every one of us that, Lord, utterance might be given to us as we open our mouths to speak. That, Lord, like the Apostle Paul, we might express, oh God, clearly what this kingdom is all about. Father, I pray, oh God, that you might anoint us, oh God, to minister. And as we lay hands on the sick, you might confirm your word with signs and wonders following. That, Father, it may be evident, oh God, we are not just functioning according to words, but we want to see the kingdom of God being demonstrated. And so, Lord, I pray, oh God, for fresh grace and fresh anointing to come upon every one of us here this morning. And Lord, as we go into our schools, as we go into our workplaces, oh God, we might carry the very presence of Almighty God. That the peace of God that is upon us, oh God, will impact the lives of people around us. That, Lord, the hope that we have, oh God, might infect those who are around us. That they might be curious, want to know why we have so much hope. That, Father God, the way we live our lives, seeking first your kingdom, it might become evident to the world around us that we are from a different place. That heaven is our home and we're only passing through. Now we are looking for a city whose builder and maker is the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for each of us. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to grow in our faith. Help us to move from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Lord, may fear decrease and be eradicated from our lives. And Lord, may we grow in the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, and amen. Before you leave, if there's somebody here who needs a miracle, there'll be people up here to pray with you for your miracle this morning. The rest of you, you're all dismissed, and see you back here at 5:30 for a divine encounter. The Lord bless you.
Honor me for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love. All I have in you is more than enough. More than enough. sacrifice of greatest price, still more honor.